Hello, and thank you for listening to this message from the heart of Pastor Eddie Paul Morris. To see what's happening at Deer Valley Worship Center, check out our website, dvwc.church.
Prayer. How many realize that prayer takes some effort and some energy, and it takes some focus? If there's any truth that I believe that we're to receive today out of this message, it is this. That if we're going to be true followers of Jesus Christ, we need to push things out of the way and become intentional about our word life and our prayer life in seeking God. Can I say that again? It's time for us to realize to be believers, to seek first the kingdom. We need to push other stuff out of the way and be intentional about our pursuit of God. Thank you for that amen, Caitlin. Now, in this today, I just ask that you would open your heart to the Holy Spirit showing you where in your life that you've allowed other things to crowd out your prayer life. Where you've allowed other concerns and worries. Maybe it's, you know, where the parable of the sower and the seed and the seed's gone in, but life is just choking out the word. Life is just choking out the pursuit of God. See, there is no kingdom manifestation without a church and a people of prayer. If we don't seek the throne of God, if we don't call forth, if we don't declare the word of God, if we don't spend time in pursuit of the Father and experiencing the Holy Spirit, we are wasting our time because the very engine of this whole thing is experience and encounter with God. But I believe this first scripture is a place and a foundation where God wants us to start from. So go ahead, 2 Corinthians 1, and I'm going to step in right at verse 15. In this confidence, I intended to come to you before that you might have a second benefit to pass by way of you to Macedonia, to come again from Macedonia to you and be helped by you on my way to Judea. Man, he was busy. Therefore, when I was planning this, did I do it lightly? Or the things I planned, do I plan according to the flesh that with me there should be yes, yes, and no, no? But as God is faithful, our word to you was not yes and no. For the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, by me, Silvanus and Timothy, was not yes and no, but in him was yes. For all the promises, let's say all the promises of God in him are yes, and in him, amen. To the glory of God through us. So the promises of God are yes and amen. They're yes and so be it. Amen is so be it. In other words, there's no shadow of turning in God the Father. Every perfect and good blessing comes from the Father of lights. God has good stuff for us. The warfare that we are in is submitting to God, but out of the submission to God, there has to be an expectation that we take the word, we take the promises, and we say, you know what? I'm abiding in him. I'm asking what I'm desiring, and I'm going to believe it, and I'm going to see it come to pass in my life. There has to be fruit for the kingdom of God. We have to be a people of prayer, knowing the Holy Spirit and seeing the manifestation of the kingdom of God in our life. Why is it that God has sent ministries at times where, you know, and sometimes when you say the name, you run the risk of people thinking different things. But how many know God uses different ministers in different ways? I mean, you get Joel Osteen and you're going to get so filled with hope, you think you can go conquer the world tomorrow. You know, you listen to Tommy Barnett, you're gonna be so filled with hope that you think you can just take out a train tomorrow, you know, by just opening your... How many know there's people that have gifts for different things? And then there's gifts by prophets that bringing prophecy and like a Benny Hinn bringing the presence of God. Why does God do those things and we have those encounters with the Holy Spirit? Because God wants to imprint on us, not so that we can always point back and say, wow, wasn't that amazing yesterday? But out of that knowledge and that encounter with the Holy Spirit, that in our present day, we long for the Father and we believe that God is on the inside of us. And as he works through us in prayer, he's going to bring heaven to earth because we serve a living God, not a dead God. We serve a God who is alive. He came out of the grave on the third day. He is not dead. We are not praying in vain. We are not seeking God in vain. We are seeking God with the expectation that his promises are yes and amen. If the answer comes in a day, thank you, Jesus. If it comes in a year, thank you, Jesus. If it comes in 10 years, thank you, Jesus. Our job is to continue and to pray and to receive and to continue to believe, because yes and amen is the promise of God. There's a determination on the inside, and the enemy will do anything he can to dilute your yes and your amen and get you to think that it's yes and no, or a maybe, or somehow, some way, or it just kind of gets you all muddled in some kind of place when God is saying yes and amen. It's so hard at times because our circumstances blind us. And we sometimes think that, well, maybe in this case, it's not yes and amen. Am I preaching in the right area today? There's got to be a determination on the inside. See, this may not be a real sexy message today, but I got news for you. It'll produce some amazing results if you respond to it. So it's yes. It's amen. We know in Matthew 6, you don't have to turn there, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This treasure is in earthen vessels. Sometimes this earthen vessel has some difficulties. It has some struggles. It has some things going on the inside of it. But the King of Glory is on the inside of us, and he's looking to manifest himself through us no matter what this earthen vessel is going through. There's power. There's dominion. How many know the word dominion is in the Bible? The kingdom takes dominion. When we pray, we are salt and light. There's an arena of prayer, not just only in the individual life. There's a prayer of agreement between spouses. There's a prayer of agreement between families. There's a prayer of agreement between churches and local bodies. There's a prayer of agreement that I believe can even sweep over a region and an area to bring change into the earth. And God has called us to stand in the gap. God's looking for some men and women of God that will realize that it's not about us, but it's calling us to stand in the gap. You can literally be used of God, and sometimes we're not getting it, but the reality is the enemy is running roughshod over the whole area and the region that we live, not just our families, but the enemy's looking to come in and bring destruction. And I truly believe that God is saying, I've called you to stand in the gap. You can stop the flood of dissipation by being salt and light and standing where I've called you to stand. I don't believe in a fatalistic gospel. I don't believe in a fatalistic mentality that says everything happens for a reason. Well, sometimes the reason is that the body of Christ isn't doing what it's called to do. There's warfare over regional transformation. There's warfare over transformation in your marriage. There's warfare over transformation in a generation. There's warfare over these things, because when we're doing these things, they change eternity. We're called for a purpose. And that purpose is not just so that we can get self-fulfillment, although serving God can be very and is very fulfilling. But the reality is God has called us to change the very atmosphere of every place that we go. I know God is sovereign, but he has sovereignly put into our hands the ability to change history. He has sovereignly said, Jim, I place this with you. Walk in it, flow in it, be obedient to it. I put this in you. Walk in it, walk in it. I've placed this in you, Ryan and Aaron, walk in it. See, it's easy when you're first a Christian, typically, when you've had these major encounters with God, or, you know, how many know when your eyes are open, your eyes are open to Jesus? I once was blind, but now I see. I mean, and you know, you just, you know, some people, man, they go crazy. They're witnessing to everybody. They're running, they're just doing, you know, that's a pretty common thing. But, and they're praying and they're seeking and they show up at the prayer meetings. And when they worship, they don't care what the person next to them is thinking about or doing because they have a reckless abandon towards God. They need the presence of God. But somewhere along the line in our Christian life, we can get off course because that honeymoon stage is so amazingly wonderful. But 5 years down the road, what choice and decision are we making to stay in the presence of God? It's not my responsibility to keep you in the presence of God. It's not your responsibility to keep me in the presence of God. But the more that each of us are individually in the presence of God, the more that it flows within the unity, because God wants us to be in the same mind and the same spirit. And when I catch on fire, someone else has the opportunity to catch on fire. When you catch on fire, someone else has the opportunity to catch on fire. When you know, this just spreads like wildfire, like a Christmas Eve service when we're lighting candles and the candles touch someone else's light. That's what it's all about. What are we doing with the light that God has placed on the inside of us? Are we opening it and putting it out where everybody can see it? Or are we hiding it under a bushel? Are we hiding it in some place? Or are we standing out and letting light show to the whole world? Because light dispels darkness and it defeats the lies of the enemy. The value of a life lived fully in surrender to God is just, I think it's incalculable. It's incalculable. Jesus said what? I gotta be about doing the work that God's called me to do. He said, my food is to do the will of the Father and the will of him who sent me. That's my food. That's my nourishment. That's what strengthens me, is to do God's will. And Jesus said, I have to be doing it while it's light out, while it's day, because at night, the night's coming when no man can work. This is kingdom first. This is a kingdom first message about prayer. This is a kingdom first message about doing the will of God. Sometimes we're so focused on our own problems, we're thinking, you know what? Fix my problem, fix my problem, fix my problem, fix my problem, fix my problem. Can I just keep on going? Fix my problem. And then in the process of doing that, we focus so much on fixing our own problem that we have completely left our first love. We've completely left kingdom first, king and the kingdom first. We've completely abdicated, or I'm not even saying the word right, but bless the Lord, we've pushed the wrong thing to the side. It's time for us to push the things that need to be pushed to the side and seek God first. It strengthens us. It changes us. I hope this is not coming as any kind of, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. But the reality is pursuit of God, you have to stay in that place with God for a yoke that is easy and a burden that is light. Sometimes we think the yoke that is easy and the burden is light is means that I'm gonna dance through the tulips and I'm just gonna kind of have a nonchalant attitude towards the things of God. Wow. We live in a very hectic world. What I'm talking about is very easy to do. Don't have to turn there, but Daniel 12:4 talks about increased knowledge. I'm gonna know there's such an increase of knowledge that it's dumbfounding. I forgot what the most recent thing is, you know, but it was like 19 whatever or 18 whatever to 1970. Or I'm just going off of memory here, but you know, knowledge like doubling. But now it's gotten to the place, and I don't know what the exact thing is, but I think it's like every year knowledge doubles. We are flooded with knowledge. We're flooded with access to knowledge. We can ask Mr. Google about anything that we want to ask. We can get online and get information and information and information and information, information. There's a scripture that talks about ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. We've got to be guards over our lives. We've got to be guards over our minds. We've got to be guards over our families. We've got to be guards. It's not just about entertainment. We need entertainment. Entertainment and enjoying ourselves is a good part of living and being refreshed. But if we are entertainment junkies and entertainment has now become first in our life, that idol needs to be brought back into its proper place in our life. What in our lives need to be brought back into proper place? What I'm preaching today will change our lives if we live there. there's a place of prayer where, how many know prayer lists are good? Amen. It's good to write things down. I need to pray for this, have a scripture. You know, that is good. That's good stuff. But how many know there's times in prayer? How many know Jesus would literally disappear in the night and go out and be on the mountain and pray all night, and then after he prayed all night, then he would go select the disciples? And it's kingdom first. He had to hear from, if Jesus needed to do that, how much more do we need to do that? There's power. I mean, there is power. You don't have miracles in your life just because you have a nonchalant attitude. You may have a gift and a grace that causes certain things to happen, but the true manifestation of what God wants to do is because you're in your prayer closet, and where the Father sees in secret what you're doing, he honors you out in front of everybody with kingdom manifestation of healing power and grace and sovereign things being hooked up and divine relationships happening. God is continually working on getting us into the primary place of where he called us to manifest the kingdom of God in our lives. But sometimes life just hurts too bad. Daniel 7:25 talks about in the end times, the enemy wears the saints out. Have you ever been worn out? Can I hear it again? Have you ever been worn out? Sometimes you just have to show up for duty. My aunt used to say that, and the more I've been in ministry, the more I realize what she's talking about. Sometimes you just have to say, yep, Lord, I'm here. When you're married, how many know that you don't love your spouse just when you feel like it? Because if you do, that'll be a bad case of something else. Love is not a feeling, it's a choice that causes feelings. You love consistently. You've made a choice to love. We've made a choice to love one another because we're children of God, and God empowers us in us, but we have to be intentional about that love. Therefore, in our walk with Christ, we can't wait on him to always breathe some kind of touch on us that all of a sudden brings us back to the feeling I had 10 years ago. Ooh, that was good stuff right there. That was good stuff. You're waiting on Daniel to hit the keys just right. Then I can touch God. And there could be some truth to that because God uses instrumentation and music to bring the presence of God in. But if your whole life is surrounded off of Sunday morning's worship to get you through the week, you got another thing coming. I got another thing coming. We've got to figure out how to get into the presence of God every day. We've got to be conscious of God's presence as we walk throughout the day. We have to have God in our thoughts throughout the day. We have to be walking with God everywhere we go. God, what are you, I love what I heard Sean Bolts, how he even thinks towards, when he sees somebody. God, what are your thoughts towards this person? God, what are you thinking towards them? It doesn't matter their condition, but God's saying, God, what is your thoughts towards this person? That's how he's walking. How many of that's continually being in prayer? You're looking for the right word. You're looking for the right connection. You're looking for that way to bless somebody else. Yes. Others focused in the ministry of what God has called us to do. When I say the ministry, I'm calling just being a believer. When you're doing what God has called you to do and you're touching other people's lives, I'm telling you, it'll kick things into gear. But when we get self-focused, it turns the nozzle off. Good stuff. Turn to Romans 8. How many know that if any two agree concerning anything, it'll be done? See, God wants this power to come back in our families. He wants it to come in our marriages, our churches, our communities. He wants us to be salt and light. And even before I read there, I mean, just the reality is this, is that Christians, have you ever heard this after you got saved? That you're just getting a little bit too serious about the things of God. Have you ever had an unbelieving family member or unbelieving, family friend? You love them much, but they're just you've just gone a little bit crazy. What they're wanting you to do is they want you to go through the salad bar of life, and I'll have a little bit of Jesus. I'll have a little bit of hanging out doing this. I'll have a little bit of doing that. I'll have a little bit of and just mix it all together and get yourself one big lukewarm salad. Come on. because they don't understand kingdom. When we understand what Jesus did on the cross for us, how many realize that what Jesus did on the cross for us deserves and expects? We are to be living as a holy vessel unto God. It is our reasonable service to take our bodies and our spirits and serve God with them. God deserves everything because he laid down everything. God owns me. Not in some kind of tyrant way, but my body is his, my mind is his, my life is his, and someday I'm going to stand before him and give account of what I did with what is his. Not out of some kind of robotic thing, but because I chose to live out the kingdom life. I chose to love the Father. I chose to let God operate through my life. I chose that this is the life that I want to live. I don't want some lukewarm salad. I want the full meal deal of heaven. I want God's power. I want God's spirit to move through me. And you got to continually come back to this place, because you can get dry and you can get cold and you can get burnt and you can get bitter. And you got to say, God, touch my heart. God, touch my life. God, change me from the inside out, because I can't do it without you. Apart from you, I can do nothing. Like T.D. Jakes says, during worship, don't sit next to people that you can't get a drink when you're sitting next to them. Well, if your worship is hindered by who you sit next to, bless the Lord if it's your spouse. I don't know what to tell you. But anyway, I brought all my friends that are unsaved to church today. So I better just be like seeker sensitive today. How about we get so radical for Jesus that they might look at you in the natural, but then the Holy Spirit swoops in, touches their heart and their life, and God touches them, and they know that God touched them. It had nothing to do with us, but yet our hearts were connected with God. How many know that's good teaching, preaching? I know people that still aren't serving God, but they can point back to a time they were driving down the road and the Holy Spirit touched their heart through some kind of church sign or something like that. They know that they experienced God. When we're out blabbing and saying all kinds of stuff and blah, blah, and we're doing our best outside of God, maybe we haven't prayed enough or had breakthrough, or, you know, we're doing our best, but it hasn't broken through. They haven't experienced the presence of God. But when you experience the presence of Jesus, your life changes. You know that you know that you know that you've encountered God. Even if your mind goes 100 million miles the other way, your spirit knows what it experienced. I believe that even ungodly, unsaved people can come in and tell you a lot of times what is real and what's not real. I know some things are only, you know, once you have the Spirit of God, then you're spiritually discerning. But I believe that there's even a sense in the human heart that when the Holy Spirit touches, you go, that's real. Because sometimes we're just judging by man's judgment when God says, I need you to have my kind of judgment. People get weird with the word judgment, but what we're talking about is discernment. Seeing things. Oh, that's a whole message unto itself. Pentecostal churches, and I'll move on from this after this, but we need Jesus, because we can discern so many things, but 99.9% of the time you need to keep your mouth shut. Say, oh me or oh my. But God wants us to be serious. See, Matt Triggs, look for that automobile. God had promised it through prophecy, but he kicked it into gear. And you say, well, how does this relate to prayer? It does, because it's the intentionality of the heart. The fervent, fiery hot prayer of a righteous person avails much. Not a lukewarm salad kind of heart. God will continually work and draw us, but when there's an intentionality about our prayer, that says, God, in the name of Jesus, I just thank you that breakthrough happens right now. God, I thank you that you're opening the windows of heaven over this situation. God, I thank you that you're bringing the miracle right now. I mean, I tell you what, Pastor Ryan and Aaron, they're going to be praying. God, open the door. Show us exactly what to do. Show us exactly where to go, because they need to hear from heaven. And you know what? It doesn't change when you follow God. You're going to need to hear from heaven until you take your last breath, because you've got to hear the voice of God. You've got to know I'm in the right place, doing the right thing, doing what God's called me to do. And it's a beautiful thing when you're there, and it's an awful thing when you're not. Well, the will of God is just all over the place. I don't buy that scripture where you know, the perfect, acceptable, I'm trying to think of the third one, will of God. That doesn't mean perfect, and then this is acceptable, and this is... It means that it's perfect, it's acceptable. This is what God wants. But at any time, we can get back into the place where God wants. But don't miss the time. Don't miss the time. See, Matt got his answer because he got serious and he took some sound equipment and he said, pretty much, I know that God's not mocked. Whatever man sows, he's going to reap. God, you promised me a new vehicle, so here's this sound equipment. I'm taking this sound equipment, and I'm going to bless, and I'm going to give. And it might even hurt a little bit, because that's some really good sound equipment. Plop. And then boom, all of a sudden, a businessman is like, here you go. Here's some big cash. I'll match whatever comes in. And he got his vehicle. Well, say, why does God make it so difficult? Because when you're serving God, you got to do things God's way. What is the kingdom? It's the way God does things. He's the king, and this is how he does them. So we need to hook up with how God does things. We're sometimes so frustrated because the reality is we're not doing them kingdom ways. We're doing them in human ways and working real hard and not accomplishing anything. Sometimes God empties things out so that he can start all over. When it comes to prayers, it's a thought or an idea. I know someone who he gets his walking gear on, walks out the door, looks at his watch, and starts walking and praying. And then when 30 minutes hits, he turns around from wherever he's at and begins to walk home. 1 hour of prayer every day while he's also taking care of his body. How's that for a thought? I don't have an hour a day. You know what? You don't have the opportunity to not have an hour every day. I don't have the opportunity. How many remember being single if you're married now? How many remember how much easier it was to pray when you weren't married? Didn't have kids to take care of, diapers to change, a million things going on. How many know I'm talking reality? I mean, sometimes you read the Bible, you almost get the idea that Paul didn't even like marriage. I only got three laughs, but that you read some of the stuff Paul wrote and you're like, did he even believe in marriage? The point was, he knew that the more responsibility you have, the harder you're going to have to work to make sure that God is first in your life. When you're married and you got kids, I got news for you. You need to pray probably a whole lot more than you did when you were single. Man, I must have just chased something up the tree here, because it's like real quiet. Like I better not act like I see anything or say anything or throw an elbow. It might require getting up early to pray. Major blessing. When we started the church, some like 11 years ago now, I remember we had a speaker in, and we had just started maybe just a few months into it. And I remember his expectation was, this is a brand new church. They probably haven't got much presence going on yet. But he told me afterwards, I didn't know what he was thinking before, but afterwards he's like, my goodness, you guys have the presence of God on this house already in a school. His presence changes everything. His presence, He's not a machine, but it relates to it. His presence is like a well-oiled machine. His presence causes all the parts of the body to work together. His presence causes things to happen a whole lot easier than the other way around. But it was because of the prayer that people put in before landing in that place where we started in that school. People were praying for us. Obedience brought it to that time in the season. You've got to protect that. Ask any evangelist that travels, and they will tell you there's churches where the presence of God resides, and there's churches where there's no presence. The enemy fights presence because he wants to stop what God is doing. Prayer is so vital. We got to tap into it, fully into it. When you have a prayer life and a word life, your prophetic gift will start to flow more than it ever has. People that don't even know they have gifts start to have gifts because the gift is there. The Holy Spirit gives gifts as He wills. We know there's a scripture that says, pursue love and covet prophecy. How many know covet is a very strong word? Don't covet with the flesh, but covet with your heart and your attitude of pursuit of God. Pursue love and covet that you would prophesy. Because prophecy changes things. Prophecy speaks into situations and changes them. But I've even had times where, and maybe a lot of you will agree with me, I've had times where it was hard for me to pray, and I said, Lord, put me on somebody's heart because I'm struggling right now. Lord, I don't know who, but put me on somebody's heart. But see, when we do this, when we pray, things change. How many would think that Jesus' ministry was fruitful and productive? Amen? Because he prayed. He prayed. He sought the Father. The biggest danger that we have is deceiving ourselves that we're still seeking the Father when we've disconnected and now we're just going through the Christian motions. This is blessing people. This word is going into hearts and spirits right now. When we don't garden our hearts and we let bitterness and judgment run, and all of us got that stuff to deal with, because life happens. But if we don't continually pull the weeds and keep the garden fresh and the soil tilled and let that Holy Spirit word and refresh us, if we don't keep that area right, you can disconnect yourself. You can all of a sudden decide that, you know what, I don't like Pastor Eddie Paul. I don't like the way he's dressed. I don't like whatever about him. And you can make judgments against me, and you'll literally, and some of it could even be true. But when you do that, you make a judgment against someone, you stop receiving from them. I mean, John Bevere talks about it in his book. He sat around with couples early in ministry, and they were convinced, and they all just talked about it, and how that pastor, he was completely off. He was just all over the place and blah, blah, blah. Because when you get close to other human beings, you see that they got stuff just like you. Don't put me on a pedestal. The only person that goes on a pedestal is Jesus. We're to honor one another. We're to honor what God does. His wife, she was the only one that just kind of looked like and stayed quiet while the rest of them, they were completely cut off, thought that God was moving them on, changing the direction of their life. And then one day God spoke to him and said, you've got judgment against him. And literally, he repented, and then the floodgate opened, and he's like, oh my goodness. I'm telling you, that was one of the biggest, that's one of the biggest tests. I've had that test so many times. I mean, I was watching Joel Osteen on TV years ago, and because I had people around me that cut him down, and you can think whatever you want, I'm talking about it. The reality is I was sitting there and I was watching him. I don't like the way he does ministry. He does it this way and that way and whatever. You know what? He's God's servant, and he's responsible to God and how he does his ministry. He's got accountability and all kinds of stuff. But you know what? God spoke to me and rebuked me for judgment in my heart. I was judging another man's ministry. And when I repented of that, I mean, this was an encounter with the Holy Spirit. The Lord rebuked me. And when I confessed that and I let it go, it was, I can't find you a scripture for this, but I just believe it. The reality is when I let that go, it was almost like God said, you know what? I'm taking that mess, but I'm even going to go deeper and pull more junk out of your heart just because you honored me and obeyed what I was saying right now. And he pulled that junk out of me. It was like a deliverance. Oh, you know, we get all focused on sexual sins, and God's looking down going, look at all the judges in there. Look at all the gossips. I mean, some of these tongues need to be like cut in half. I heard a minister say, yeah, you're judging everybody else, but your tongue could roll out of your mouth and roll up here on the altar somewhere. It's like 20 yards long, and God's saying, stop gossiping. You're dividing the brethren, and God's not happy about it. Man, this is good word, man. This is a good word. Bless the Lord. Some of us need to go. The power of death and life is in the tongue. We can't be flippant about the things we say, and every single one of us have had times with it. But man, we've got to say, God, help us. Help us. That doesn't mean that there's not times where we have to confront what is in front of us, but you got to let the word of God speak right through it. I'm not talking about denying like a pain or a hurt or, you know, because sometimes you got to say, wow, I got judgment going on here. Lord, I got to confess this and clean it out. Wow. If you'd all close your eyes this morning, thank you for receiving this word. But if you're here today and you need Christ to change your life, you know that you need Jesus. Maybe everybody's saved in here. Maybe you're not. Maybe you just need a touch from heaven. I just don't know. But I think that this word right now is changing lives in here. But if you're in here, we're just all going to say it together because you know what? Even when we say this together, you need to remember it because God's going to have you have the opportunity to win someone to Jesus. It's time for people to get saved more outside of an altar call on Sunday morning than they do inside an altar call. Why? Because the body of Christ is going forward. So let's all pray this prayer together and let God change your heart and your life. Let's all say it loud. Let's say it firm. Heavenly Father, forgive me of my sin. I turn from it. And I just release my heart and life to you. I put my faith in the Son of God, Jesus, who died on the cross, went into the tomb, and was raised the third day. With my heart, I believe. And with my mouth, I confess. Jesus is Lord. With all eyes still closed, if you're in this place and you just received Christ or you came back today, I want you to know that you just made the best declaration because the power of God went into operation and you're no longer someone who's separated from God. You just became one with God. You're a son or daughter now. So if that's you in this place and you just received forgiveness and your identity just changed, I want you to just slip that hand up in this place right now. Anyone in this place? Thank you for that hand over there. Thank you, sir. Thank you. How many know heaven's rejoicing over one person? One person. One person. So, Father, I just thank you for this message. I thank you for this day, and we give you praise for it. In Jesus' mighty name. And everyone said, amen and amen. Give God a big hand clap if you would this morning. Amen, amen. And if you as we dismiss here, I want you to just bless Ryan and Aaron.